Hello friends, before we get started on this next amazing episode, I just wanted to give a short shout out to our team at Metalcloak, the group that makes this podcast possible. From engineering to production, from marketing to sales, from accounting to HR, every member of the Metalcloak family works diligently every day to bring some of the world's best products to the off-road enthusiast. Designed, engineered, proven, Metalcloak. That is not just a clever cadence written by me, but a true statement of what we do every day and why we truly appreciate each and every one of you. If you are looking for something for your Jeep, Ram, Bronco, or Toyota, give us a try. We are here to help. And now, on to another amazing episode of the Modern Jeeper Show.
We walk into the room and everybody is done eating. Martin, our buddy Martin Castro, our event guru tire guy, is just sitting down with his plate of food and like stops and says, I wasn't sure you guys were going to make it. And we are all literally, I don't know if my jaw was on the floor, but I literally wanted to just run and hide. And I'm like, oh no.
The Modern Jeeper Show, the show about Jeeps, Jeeping, and Jeepers.
Hello, Modern Jeepers. Mattson from Metalcloak here, and welcome to episode number 111 of the Modern Jeeper Show, the show about Jeeps, Jeeping, and Jeepers. It is a post-Easter Jeep Safari world, and Corey, Jesse, and I are back at our mutual offices planning out the future. In this random episode, we talk about freedom, my recent sleep study, the greatness that is Moab, Thelma and Louise Point, having an express line for the CTI, lousy Moab food versus great Moab food, the Dixie Vendor Show, crawling under a Bronco, showing up fashionably late, being friends with awesome companies, good people versus dicks, Modern Jeeper Adventures, Jeep Beach, and fighting for land use. And Corey lays in big on BFG and why you should protect what you know from greedy, inconsiderate corporations. As always, we are extremely grateful to our good friends and supporters, including Warren Winches, Raceline Wheels, Best Top, Milestar Tires, Rugged Radios, Adventure Rack Systems, and of course, Metalcloak. So sit back, relax the cold one. Enjoy episode number 111 of the Modern Jeeper Show.
Well, hey, Modern Jeepers, this is another episode of the Modern Jeeper Show with me, Mattson from Metalcloak, and Mr. Modern Jeeper, Corey Osborne.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, and Rockstar Jeep Girl, Jesse. Nobody can see you. You got to say it.
Hi.
Yeah, she was waving. Oh, all cute, but we can't hear her.
I know.
It's kind of like our show. By the way, guys.
Right.
Great having you back. Last week was a lot of fun. Great seeing you guys in Moab and being able to hang out there. Lots to talk about Moab and Easter Jeep Safari and what it's like this time versus, because everybody's asking, like, how was it? And it was different. It was different.
It was different. Yes.
But there's a lot to talk about this week, isn't there?
Yes. And you know, again, we're just back home. We record this on Wednesday. Jesse and I got home on Sunday. I know Matt's had a long drive all the way back with Chris from the sales team. That was awesome that he brought Chris out. You know, Moab, it's different. But what isn't these days, right?
Right, right. I mean, everything's different.
We're
talking about Jeep Beach coming up here was it 2 weeks now? What is it?
That's right.
Maybe next week.
I just got off the phone with them, and there's lots to talk about what they're doing. So everything's different, though. Everything's different, and it's in a good way.
Right? It is. It is in a good way, and you know what? And I had talked with some of the other Metalcloak staff this morning, and Justin had actually asked me, you know, hey, you know, how was Moab? And I said, you know what? It feels really good to be back in the physical working environment that I'm used to. But you know what? I'm out of shape. You know what? We get a little cranky. It's And things have changed, and people's expectations have changed. All of these things, like I'm just excited. I'm excited for a new season. I'm excited to get like rolling again. It feels really good. And Moab was a great place. I mean, the people that came out and the people that showed up, obviously we did over 200 CTIs while we were there. We had the RAM suspension on display. You know, this is going to be part of our Game Changer suspension line through Metal Cloak. And you know what? People go, well, your podcast is kind of like a sales thing. Guess what? It's kind of like a sales thing.
Yes.
I'm wondering, does anybody do a podcast for purely altruistic purposes?
Right. Yeah. Right? I don't think so. Right.
No. Let's listen to Four Wheeler Network and their truck show, because they're not trying to sell anything.
Oh no.
But listen, you know, we do the best we can to educate. Modern Jeeper is about education. And sometimes it is a sales pitch because, you know, well, it's look who we have. It's like, but when we bring other people on, which we're not going to do this week because we have a lot more to talk about. Next week, we'll be back into it. And we've got some guests. We've actually, the cool thing is, guys, for all of our listeners, people are coming to us now. Like, people are coming to us to want to be on our show. And it's kind of flattering because, remember, as y'all all know, this started out because Corey and I like to BS a lot.
Right.
And then we realized we were BSing about a lot of industry stuff. And though most of the time we don't actually share with you the stuff we BS about, because that would be wrong and private information, it does show that the reason we call Corey Osborne Industry Insider is that he gets a lot of information, a lot of download from friends. And we use that to help us understand the world around us. But we don't necessarily share that all with you because it would just be inside information. Right. However, trust us when we say, and we put up articles and things, trust what we know. We know what we know.
Yeah. And there, you know what, that you brought up, you kind of, I don't know. I think we were doing this whole connection thing. It's kind of a weird thing because as our listeners know that Matt and I don't get a chance to really, we don't rehearse these. There's no script. I've got a lot of stuff on my mind. Jesse has a lot of stuff on her mind from Moab. And it's an evolution. We evolve through this stuff. And every day I don't know. It's a different perspective. And we wake up on the hopefully a good side of the bed. hopefully we've got some sleep. Manson, are you getting some sleep?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay. Okay. God. Yeah. I'm a little fired up today and we have so much going on, and you know what? The energy level is super high, and that's a good thing because we've all kind of, I don't know, we watching the news streams, mm-hmm. watching all of it. I think there's this subdued nature now that we've all just kind of gone, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do today.
And that is the downside of allowing, and we'll get political for a second, allowing for others to dictate your life.
Yep.
Said it, right? What are we about in the Jeeping world? We're about being out there. We're being about being out there, being safe and being fun and having fun, but also having freedom. F-R-E-E-D-O-M. The biggest part of the Jeep when they came out with their launch of the JL. You remember they did the bing, bing, bing. It was all these different words that were stuck between the two headlights, and freedom was one of them, right? Freedom.
Yep.
Jeep is about freedom. And I imagine so is the Bronco, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Yay.
So, yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's, you know what? I'm in that realm now of if something's not happening the way you want it to go, then you're the only one that can change it. And I know that this is like down that line of, yeah, get on with it. But I'm honest. I'm so focused now on, you know what? We are the only ones that can make a difference. All the side-by-side controversy, all of the event controversy, the COVID controversy, all of it. If you don't like it, change it. Like, stop sitting back going, I wish somebody take care of me. You know what? I've got it. Here's my big stimulus check, right? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send it back to the government because I owe it in taxes. So it doesn't really matter.
That's like, the right reason, because I was wondering.
Right. Yeah.
Just give it all.
You can send it to me. You know, I'll. So, all right. So first off, I'm so excited that you're all fired up, because I love it when Corey's fired up. All right. When Corey's fired up, it's fantastic. It not only makes for a great conversation, but he has insights that I don't sometimes just kind of go, whoa, I hadn't thought about that.
There's a lot of stuff that I don't really talk about ever, because I'm always on that whole, I need to follow those lines and stay politically correct and all that. You guess what?
All done today. All right, we got a fantastic show ahead of us. So first up, you mentioned sleep, and I just want to tell everybody what I did last night, because this is we were recording on a Wednesday. Tuesday, last night, April 6th, I had a sleep study. So that was kind of weird. You basically go, and the whole thing happened because my wife's like, oh, I think you have sleep apnea. And she recorded a little video of it. And so I mentioned it to my ENT doctor. And he's like, okay, we'll do a sleep study. No big deal. So if you haven't done this, it's kind of weird. You show up at a facility at 11 o'clock at night. They check you in. You sit down. You're wearing your pajamas or whatever. You change your pajamas. And they frown on sleeping naked or anything. So you just wear your pajamas, and apparently that's appropriate. I didn't wear the Spider-Man pajamas or the underoos. I went with something more adult.
Well, that was boring.
I do have matching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pajamas with my kids, though. Right? Yeah. Got to get the Spider-Man ones. I haven't found adult Spider-Man ones, actually, yet.
The onesie.
Jack would love that. The onesie, oh, that would be awesome. Like a onesie, like, yeah. Yeah. With a flap in the back. Mm-hmm. So you show up there, and then they proceed to put, like, I think I had like 20 gross pads on my head, pads on my jaw to see if I grind at night. A little valve in my nose to see if I was breathing out of my nose or my mouth. Pads for my cardio, pads on my legs to see if I moved my legs around, what kind of leg motion there was, and if I had like rested leg syndrome or anything. And then you proceed to go to sleep. It's the thought of the fact that you have all this stuff on you and you proceed to go to sleep is kind of weird. But
right,
I laid back, and I'm pretty, when I decide to go to sleep, it's easy for me to fall asleep. You know, and when they did a whole review, they're asking all these questions. And I think I said before, but I'm answering all these questions, and they're like, if you're tired, how likely are you to fall asleep at the computer? You know, not likely, bop, 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 to extremely likely. I'm extremely likely. If I'm tired, I'm not staying up and working. I'm falling asleep at my desk. How likely are you to fall asleep in the afternoon after a big meal? How likely are you to fall asleep at the intersection if you're tired at a stoplight? How likely are you to fall asleep as a passenger in the car? Extremely likely. If I'm a passenger in your car, we're going on a long trip, right? So all this stuff, questionnaires. But once you get in, since sleep apnea was kind of one of the things we're looking at, they monitored that, and they said at 2 a.m., if we see a pattern of sleep apnea, we're going to wake you up and put a CPAP on you and then have you go the rest of the time. And they wake you up at like 5:30, so you're out of there by 6. So I fell asleep. I had my little Kindle out, and I read a couple pages and then got tired. Okay, I'm tired. I'm gonna go to sleep. Oh, by the way, there's a camera on you the whole time too, a little infrared camera. And they can talk to you. So you could actually say, I need to go to the bathroom or whatever, and they'll let you up. So I fall asleep after a few minutes, go to sleep. 2 o'clock in the morning, I get woke up. Time to put the CPAP on me. So apparently I did have some sleep apnea. So I put the CPAP on, which is this like hard fitting cone that's not really fitted to my face. And it's all around like this. It's not even gonna go. Yeah, it's covered. It almost bruised the top of my nose. Because I had a beard, she had to put gel down here because she couldn't create a seal.
A suction
seal. So she did that. And then it's all strapped, like two straps going tightly around your face to hold it in place. And then I proceeded to try to fall asleep with that, which, again, I managed to fall asleep. And then once or twice through the night, she came in again because of checking something or looking at something. And I felt I woke up a couple of times. So, and then at 5:30 or so, she walks in and says, time to get up, takes everything off. And you got like these little goose spots all over your face. You're trying to clean up, go to the bathroom. Now, I guess if you like go to work or whatever, they have a shower for you if you want to do that. But I just went home. But it was weird. And I did what I best do. I slept on my back, which I know if I snore and all that kind of stuff on the back is what usually causes that. Pillows were decent. The bed was super soft. And it just kind of looked like a small hotel room.
It's interesting because Jesse and I recently have had a couple of conversations with each other just about we know a lot of people that are that use a CPAP machine and have some issues sleeping. So I'm curious what you did mentally to go, oh, I should probably have this test.
Well, you know, it was more of a, because I went to the ENT about a month and a half ago, 2 months, and I was actually checking off a box from my surgery back in 2019. Because part of the follow-up of my surgery, when I had that surgery up in my head, was going, because I had a clogged sinus cavity, right? Which for the viewers or for those who are listening, I'm pointing to the section above your eyeball because that's where your sinus cavity was, which I had no idea. I always thought the sinus cavity was, well, in your sinuses, right? But no, up in your skull, there's that little cavity right above your eyeball. And right back behind that area, that's your sinus cavity. Well, I had one that was clogged, according to the MRI. And so I was getting drainage, and that sometimes is the result of that kind of surgery, especially when for the first 3 days afterwards, they've got those giant like buses shoved up your nose that are stopping everything from happening, that they rip out without any warning and cause all kinds of pain and make you cry and give you no sort of bedside manners, the little wench. and then, so I had that, and there was a follow-up. Well, with COVID and stuff happening, I never went to that appointment. So a year later, I'm like, you know, I need to go see the ENT, make sure there's still nothing up there, which I didn't think there was. So I went and saw him. And in the process, you know, when you get referred by your doctor to somebody, a specialist, you might as well give them your whole list because you don't want to have to go back for, he doesn't care if your list is not exactly what they referred you for. He's going to look at everything. So one of the things I mentioned to him was my wife thought I might have some sleep apnea and I snore a lot. It's like, okay, let's do a sleep study. That easy. And so I scheduled it for the week after Moab and did it. And it was interesting too, because again, trying to make sure you slept in the way you would normally sleep that caused you the most problem. I know if I sleep on my side, I probably don't snore, but if I sleep on my back, I do.
Right.
I don't know if I sleep on my side, if I have this sort of apnea. And if I do, it's not like anything severe. It's like little ones. It's not like some people have sleep apnea where it's like, you know, it's 30 seconds of not breathing or whatever. And I'll tell you, even if they come back and say, yes, you have sleep apnea, but it's minor, I'm not going to get a CPAP. I mean, there's no way that I am going to find myself every night putting that on and going to sleep.
I totally understand that. And I understand that there's some people that they're going to stop breathing in the middle of their night and they have to have it. And that's part of their deal. But, well, good. I mean, I'm glad it's something that you went and got checked out. You know, I mean, it's kind of like my forehead thing. And I don't know what the light's like in here. Good. It's healing. Like,
it looks good.
Yeah, it is. So you can see it right there. So follow our listeners, right in his forehead. You'd think it was like that perfect shot, right?
Definitely. And it was a kind of a scab thing that never went away. And my doctor called me while we were in Moab and said, you know what? Yep, basal cell carcinoma. And they hope that this treatment, you know, the scraping and the cauterizing and whatnot makes it go away and it heals up, but it'll always be a spot that's, they look at and they keep track of. I'm much more aware now of putting on sunscreen when I'm outside. You know, I think we're all getting old. And
how does that happen?
Yeah. How does that happen?
This is age. It's all mental.
You know, I was thinking a little bit about the Moab podcast we did last week. And if anybody missed it, there was a lot of video of the whole Jeep, the concept area and what that looks like if you've never made it out to the Easter Jeep Safari. And, you know, we're standing in direct sun the whole time. And while we're talking and stuff, I'm thinking, sunscreened and lathered up? I should do that.
You know, and I'm going to do a plug here, because every morning, right after my shower, I sprayed with the Neutrogena. I use the Neutrogena 100 SPF. Oh. And the beauty of it is it's not really cheap. The Neutrogena, like, you can't tell. Like, it's not like some of the other, like, I was using the Coppertone SPF, right, spray on. I like to spray on. But it gets that sticky sheen.
Yeah.
And the Neutrogena is just like, it's soft. You can't really tell. It doesn't have that super shiny sheen where you're like, whoa, Matt's in metallic there. What you got?
Well,
right?
This whole conversation reminds me of a social media post recently where somebody posted if a guy uses different shampoo as they do body wash, they're kind of bougie. And our buddy down at Artec, one of the sales guys, Armando, said, if you use shampoo, you're kind of bougie.
Okay.
Of course, Armando
long
and you.
Long before I found body wash is like a thing, right? So I was poor. I didn't have any money. I'd go down to the 99-cent store and I'd buy a bottle of Alberto VO5, right?
Yeah.
And that was my body wash and my hair wash. So
and
what
your,
does that
yeah. Yep.
For, yep. So, I mean... And I can't help it, but I'd use that. And the lady's like, you smell like strawberries.
Well, Jesse bought some banana scented shampoo.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I could drink it.
It's so good.
So I'm thinking of Bananas Foster, Jeep Beach.
Yeah.
It's yeah. A whole anything banana that thing. Smells like tanning oil or beach. Yeah, I'm on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is such an amazing smell. Like the original copper tone. And
it's
see,
summer.
I don't know about you guys. Like I grew up with my mom. Like we lived in LA. And so she had like the little coconut oil. Like
oh,
the
yeah.
Stuff you baked. It's like it was this coconut. And I'm sure it was just baked her skin, right?
Yeah. Right.
I love that smell of just the you know, that, what was it? Bain de Soleil.
Zero or two sunscreen.
It was a magnifier.
My
mom's generation, like they use baby oil.
Yeah,
baby oil and iodine.
Put baby oil on their skin.
Well, I'm paying for that now. So,
I lived in Arizona. I've told this story. When I lived in Arizona, though, I used to go out because I always thought I looked good, like sunburned.
Okay? Right.
So. I would go and lay out in the sun. And I actually found if I laid on the rock in the cement, right? And like I would lay on this the hot cement first. And I would flip and then I would lay out in the sun, I would burn quicker. But I was had a lobster look for the longest time. And it was I am so surprised. And it's probably because I've done a couple of like sauna detoxes where it does a lot to get out radiation out of your skin and that sort of thing. But for the fact that I for almost 6 months was bright red, I'm surprised I don't have like giant like things growing out of my arms.
It's so funny to sit here in front of a computer because last week we were all in person and now I'm watching you in your office and you actually have Jim and Deb from Trail Nut, their Moab video behind you playing. And hey, for our listeners out there, Moab, our adventure is coming up. If you did not make it to Easter Jeep Safari, I'm telling you, we've got some openings still. There's still a lot of people that have registered so far, but this is not going to be like an Easter Jeep Safari type of an event. Our adventure in Moab over Memorial Day weekend, registration is up, available, it's open, and I'm looking at
a few spots left, right?
Right. I think we're already at, 12, 14 rigs, something like that.
Yeah. What's our limit for Moab? Like 15 or something?
Somewhere in there. Like we're pretty flexible with Moab. We can split stuff up into a couple different groups, which I'd rather not do, but we're going to do some out of the box stuff. you know, talking with our buddy at Outlaw Jeep Adventures, Jeremy Rowan, we kind of have a tentative plan for a day one, and it's going to be different. It's not going to be the standard run of the mill trails, which is a lot like what we did last year.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, because that is what makes it fun and interesting. And that's what Modern Jeep Adventures is all about, doing something
that's
a little different. Death Valley, we do it a little different than
we're all a little different.
So when Chris came back, was he all excited?
So it's a great thing, because the reason for our audience that we took Chris out, Chris is one of our new sales guys. Let me tell you, if you want to know anything about suspension, go over there and volunteer with Corey. Like, say, hey, can I help yeah. out for a few hours? And you're going to get a PhD in suspension, because there's nothing more than you see. That being said, Corey's like, no, I don't need a bunch of volunteers. But Chris got a chance to work it with Corey, the CTI trailer. And that is, there's something about education. And that is, we can have significance. And by significance, I mean the words on the page. And we need mass. And by mass, I mean the thing itself, right? Use an analogy of a tractor. You can read about a tractor. You can see what the definition of a tractor is. But unless you've never seen a tractor before, it's hard to really understand what a tractor is, right? So you can do that about anything. So you're studying about suspension systems, and you're seeing suspension systems, and you know about suspension systems, and you got all this stuff works. But until you actually dive into it and see what Corey does under a rig every single day, in the hundreds, and at this point, 8,000 rigs that Corey has looked at, you don't really get the mass and understanding of what it is that you can, the variances. And it's really the difference between guys that have the tech knowledge and are learning about it. And Chris had a great time learning what sort of incredible variations there are out there. Because we all see what the standard is, but you don't understand how different people set up their rigs to do things differently, especially when you get into Franken systems, right? Like medical, it's always been about building a system that works. We build mm-hmm. systems that work together. And every day I get a call from a customer like, oh, I bought your coils, but I have so-and-so's shock and so-and-so's control yeah. arms and so-and-so's yep. track bars. Like, I wanted the best of the best. Okay, so when I was a teenager, I built a BMX bike the same way, right? I had a mongoose frame, and I had these wheels and these parts, and I built this because I wanted the best of the best, right? Problem was, when I put it all together, it didn't really work the way I wanted it to, because it wasn't really all designed for synergy, right? And I hate to use the term synergy, because that's our buddy Dave, but it is, we try to be synergistic in how we design systems.
Right. And I think that's a part of our, what Easter Jeep Safari did for us, for me personally, was number one, it's such a physical thing. And you get out of that loop. We've all been sitting behind either a desk or computers, or we're hanging out. The CTI thing is such a physical thing. And we get out to Moab, and it's so exciting to be in front of everybody and talk to everybody. And yet we do this juggling thing, right? Where we have a line of Jeeps out there, and we know people don't want to sit in line all day long. So we try to be quick and get them through, yet we try to offer some sort of advice. Easter Jeep Safari and Daytona and Jeep Beach are two really difficult events for us, because we don't necessarily get the time that we'd like. And I think a lot of our participants are like, they want to know more, and some want to know less. some don't want to hear us talk.
Some don't care.
Some just want the picture of them on the CTI trailer. But it's a really good juggling match. And to have Chris come out and kind of see what that looks like. And, we all, even for me after this long, it's the Franken Jeep, the Jeep that is built like we've all built Jeeps, which is a hodgepodge of parts. We bought so-and-so's coils and somebody else's control arms. And then we want to know, how come our score isn't as good as it could be or should be? And again, it's a system of components. And one of the, very few folks anymore, other than our own clientele, our Metal Cloak Owners Club that typically shows up, very few folks show up with a Jeep that has one manufacturer's parts. And I have this conversation a lot where people are like, well, I don't understand. You know, I've got all the best of the best, but manufacturers cannot anticipate what each component works like with somebody else's stuff. We'd have to buy every suspension kit on the market, every model of Jeep, tire, wheel, and then go, hey, what are these variables? We're talking about thousands of different possibilities of what that Jeep could look like.
Or you build a CTI trailer and you test 8,000 rigs and you document all of that and you put it in a database and go, we're just going to make sure our stuff works better than all of it.
Right. Which, hey, guys, guess what? You know, this is, and I tell everybody, you know, they saw the LJ out there on display, my personal LJ, and they go, but what about that? And, and you know what? For me, I tell them, well, guess what? The CTI trailer lives with me and the LJ lives with me. We have a relationship. we're close.
Very close.
But again, you know, I can put the LJ on there and kind of go, hey, what hits, what works, what doesn't. And it's just a matter of how things work together. But again, that system of components is such a huge thing. It's a synergy of all of those parts. And when we Frankenstein a lift, like we all have, some things work really well with some things and others don't. Sweetest.
Yeah, that's the beauty of doing any of the things that we're trying to build. And by the way, I'm watching this little video clip that you guys just saw behind us.
Is that where you ran off?
That was my recovery moment. that apparently is famous now. So
it is. It's the talk of the town when we get.
You want to see Madsen at his finest? Go back and watch that video of Death Valley last year. A little distracting. I think I turned a few shades of red, but so go ahead, Corey.
Oh well, so I again, me and my little notepad here.
Because I kind of wanted to go through like the days of Moab and sure. Some of the great stuff that happened and
absolutely. And again, the concept rigs that Jeep brings out, which if you go to modernjeeper.com, there's the full media regurgitation from Stellantis of the concept vehicles. Each one of them has their own uniquities. And we were out there, of course, we saw them and we didn't get to drive any of them. Some of my friends got to drive some of them. Mm-hmm. We looked at a lot of the electrical stuff, the EV stuff, the charging stations. Wow. I mean, we could have spent the day there.
Yeah. Watch that video from us from last week, youtube.com/modernjeeper. Subscribe to the channel too, please. And you're going to see some of the rigs and our reaction to them, which, you know, in some cases was. I was talking to a couple guys, including Lauren Healy, on Thursday night as we were all sucking down milkshakes from Moab Diner. And they were just heading over to see the concept rigs for the first time. In fact, they were taking one of the guys from Bronco over there to take a look at him. And I had to like get it out of my system and just rail on that charging station for a second. And they kind of looked at each other like, he must have an opinion. Because it was that charging station is ugly. Now, that being said, we had our good friend Tony, who was instrumental, and just to say that he was the guy who created the JL and JT, assure me time and again that that's just marketing. Like whether or not that actually ever ends up in the station or if it's even there for any period of time, it is just marketing. So hopefully that's the case. Well, so the day was, I mean, we arrived, you had already gone wheeling on Sunday, right? Did you go wheeling on Monday at all? Did you do the bunny run or any of that?
Oh, we so Shaver. Yeah. So Sunday we went out with Warren, and then we went out on Monday morning. We just did a really nice scenic trail called Shaver Trail that ends up off of Highway 313 in Moab. Again, super scenic. The Shaver switchbacks are kind of famous just because of how narrow and steep it is climbing out of a canyon that is. So where Thelma and Louise was filmed, mm-hmm. the little point where they go off the cliff.
Right.
That's on Schaefer Trail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So and it's been renamed now Thelma and Louise Point or something.
Thelma and Louise Point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's up off of Potash Road. And
has anybody like taken like little remote controlled Jeeps and just shot them off of there and did a little video of it to make it look like they
you know,
it?
I don't know, but good idea.
Good idea.
Way
good
to go. Drone, just drone. Put that out there for everybody.
Yeah. We just do it. Like just obviously right now a bunch of,
I'm sure they want all that
RC cars down at the bottom of the canyon.
Right. What's that recovery cost?
Yeah, right.
Huh. Weird.
So you did. And what trails did you do on Sunday with Warren?
We actually ran out.
It was officers
out of Officers Gulch, basically. Yeah.
It wasn't that.
So I have a question for you. You've been going out to Moab for 20 something years. Is there a trail you have not done?
You know what's weird is I've forgotten. Like when we were out with Warren, I'm like, this looks familiar. And then it was a different access point that we came into, and I'm like, oh, I have been out here. But it's, you know, 20 years ago, we just went out. We didn't go, hey, let's look at a map and go out to some named place. We would just start driving down a road. So I guess that's the difference now is every time I get out somewhere, I'm like, I think I've been out here. Yeah, that's familiar. What's that saying where guys are forgetting more than others ever knew or something?
Yeah, yeah. You've forgotten more than most of us will ever learn. Yeah. So that was cool. So we get in there, like some guys may be familiar with the fact that we blew out a tire on our trailer, like, just an hour and a half outside of Sacramento, heading up the 80, getting towards Nyack. And that's probably because the trailer was sitting for a year. Right. And so we got, that was fine, got replacements, you know, had a great crew. Justin came up and we replaced all four with new tires. And then we made it all the way there, but we didn't get down until about 2:30 in the morning and checked into the hotel and did all that. Somehow woke up at like almost 9, which was unheard of. Like, oh my God, what is it? But we need to sleep. So Tuesday was great. I mean, we get started. And obviously, I mean, guys, you gotta understand with the CTI trailer, I've never been out there before and seen it. It is, it's a phenomenon because before Corey was even set up, there was a line starting. And that line went all day until Jesse gets out there with a big, you know, you're out, no more. Otherwise, and we apologize to anybody we had to turn away, but we'd be out there till 7, 8 p.m. If we didn't turn away at some point and stop.
Well, it's always the challenge, and she can speak to this, but it's always it's hard because when we have a line of 10, 12, 14 Jeeps, we always go, okay, well, right now I'm running around 5 minutes or is it 10 minutes a rig? Mm-hmm. So we kind of go to the end of that and we go, look, you're the last guy. And then, well, those next five
could be quick.
They may not only just want a picture on the CTI trailer. Right, and then all of a sudden, well, it's.
I've got an idea. We always bring two trailers. We should have an express line and a full.
Oh, service. God.
A subscription.
You can run that.
A subscription.
Yeah. So I'll run the express line, you know, run up and back and forth and back and forth to keep myself in shape. And you can do the, yeah, you're paying for an electric VIP service. Express line. Right. Yeah. Up, well, down, take a photo. I wouldn't even let them get out. Like, they'll just be up, down, take a photo in the express line. We'll take a photo for you and send it to you, just like they do in, like, you know, Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Little frame.
Little frames.
But it's, I'm pretty $5. Sure we got
$5.
Everybody.
$5 for your photo? $5?
Yeah. But I'm sure we got everybody.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody that came back. And
the folks that, you know, on the first day were like, hey, we're out of time. You know, there's that whole, really? You can't get one more on there? And then they come back the next day and we get them on.
There's 10 at a time.
That comes. It's really just, please.
And then 10 more show up.
Would you like to meet my son? He does a lot more pleases than you do. So that was great. So then Tuesday night was basic. We had the steak dinner. I won't talk about that. I already think I've got a Yelp review coming about that place. So, you know, here's a little recommendation. Going to Moab, there's a lot of new restaurants there, my friends, a lot of new places. Ask around, because just because a place is trying to promote itself as something doesn't mean it is. There are a lot of great standards there. Dewey's, fantastic. Pasta J's, always great. Zach's, was always good. We didn't go there this year, but it's always good. The Jailhouse Cafe has a great little breakfast, but it's hard to get in. The Moab Diner, always good people. And then, of course, Canyon's Steak and Waffles, great for breakfast. I mean, there's some good staples of places you can go to there that are fantastic. Food, Wicked Brew, for coffee, Wicked Brew. But the sometimes the places that are trying to capture the new money coming into town, well, let's just say they're missing the mark, and they could be charging a lot less or getting a lot better cooks in the kitchen.
Well, and I think there is definitely something to be said for, you know, Easter Jeep Safari is such a crazy time and a lot of people. So I think some of these places get a little overwhelmed, and they don't remember what it's like to be that busy. So some places handle the busyness better than others. And some of these places that are, you know, if I'm going to pay $60 for a steak, it better be an awesome steak. And
if you're gonna pay Ruth's Chris prices, you better get a Ruth's Chris steak. And that it even lacked flavor. I mean, it was sad. But to the manager, especially, I mean, he took over $100 off our bill when I went up, which is more than just my steak. And had I known that everybody's was not cooked to their satisfaction, it would have been a different conversation. But so little places like that. Now, I mean, there's great Thai food. Apparently there's great sushi, but I still haven't tried that. According to our buddy Nick, which was episode what? Like our first year, Nick came on to the show.
They have good sushi.
Do have good sushi.
The nights we wanted to go, they were closed. So.
Oh, man. And apparently they have good Indian food, too.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Let's talk about some Indian food.
Medium is, you should get very mild.
Mild.
Wow. Yeah.
Guys, if you like curry and that kind of thing, there is an Indian restaurant in the Greenwell, the Best Western Greenwell parking lot.
It was great.
That has Indian food.
It was hot.
It was really good. There's a lot of flavor, but medium, I think I lost part of my face.
On medium.
Yeah.
On medium,
I think we melted.
So, go mild. For you American medium. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And there was two stages above medium.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's kind of like going to like Buffalo Wild Wings, where they've got like, you know, 8 or 10 different levels of hot, including like insanity. And those are great, but I recommend getting the flavor you like and then keeping one at the very end that will then stick with you for the next 3 hours.
Yes.
So, so Tuesday was great. Wednesday, but again, you know, our friends at Moab Diner, but that's when we did Canyonlands, or with the Canyons Steak and Waffles. And that was good. That was good. Yeah, good service. Good.
Yep.
Good people.
Yep. They did a good job.
And I took Chris out on Hills.
Yes, that was Wednesday night. We did. We had the Super Chips over at Jeremy Rowan's, right? So we're plugging all kinds of people here, by the way. If you wonder if this is a walking commercial, we're plugging. Our buddies at Super Chips and Rich, who Jenkins. Was part of the
Jenkins.
Super Chips. Was part of the Super Chips racing team, right?
Yep.
Back in the day was an LJ they had or a TJ? It was an LJ.
Well, and him and his daughter, Jewel, still compete in Wee Rock stuff. Yep.
And Jewel is a championship racer. Like,
yes, they're awesome.
Yeah, good people.
It was good to see. I walk in, it was good to see him. It's been forever. Yeah. But Super Chips had a little event over at Outlaw Jeep Adventures and Jeremy Rowan's. It was, oh, by the way, good barbecue from a new barbecue place called Spitfire. I think.
Spitfire, yeah.
Spitfire, which was really good. Another plug. There's going to be a lot of show notes on this one. And that was fun, because then you guys got to take Chris out, like, did a night run. Tell me about that. What was it like going out? Because have you done night runs out there before?
I think we attempted to, but it gets really dark, especially if the moon's not up pretty high, even the markings on the trail are pretty faint.
Nighttime on hills is different. And people always think, well, I'll just follow the black lines. No. Well, guess what? At nighttime, those black lines
are gone. So,
yeah,
I took him in Rockstar and we did the good part of the trail. We did Hell's Gate. And so
I think Chris had a good time.
He was super excited.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And of course, you know, by 1 a.m., he came walking into the hotel room, you know,
the adrenaline's like,
yeah,
way up here. Oh, yeah.
How awesome. And he had nothing but good things to say about your driving.
Oh, I think I kept him up for another hour because I was, yeah. Adrenaline was,
that was awesome. High. I didn't get to go because, well, we were producing the podcast that night. Yay. So I was getting all that done in a hotel room, internet streaming that sucked. Trying to upload.
Yeah. I finished bringing Matt's in the video files that we shot during the day at like 11:30. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And for all of our listeners that had a routine on Thursday mornings, because we know many of you have a routine where it's like the first thing you watch or on your commute, you're listening to it and you didn't have the latest episode and you're upset at me. It's because I had a 250 meg file that couldn't a WAV file that I couldn't upload. I had to convert it to an MP3, and I finally got that to upload. So, internet was not our friend.
No
at the hotel.
No,
that we were paying $300 a night for whatever it was.
Jeez. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that was a Best Western. But you know, that's the world. That's the world we live in.
So that's exactly right.
Then Thursday was fantastic. Right. And I'm going to just jump to the chase. I mean, obviously, by the way, we're giving 100 shirts away a day.
A day.
Yes.
100. We did 400 shirts out there, 100 a day. Yes. And it was just to people coming by and doing the CTIs and hanging out. That was awesome. But then I'm going to jump straight through because Thursday breakfast, everything was fine. But except I got to jump back a section because, Wednesday had something else to happen that I didn't talk about, and that was the vendor show.
Yeah.
Which was actually really cool. I know that it was a different kind of show for everybody, and it was differently done, but Dixie did a show on the 30th and 31st, Tuesday and Wednesday. I went out on Wednesday, and it was a good show. It was small, but it was compact. All of our friends were there. And they all seemed to enjoy it. There were a lot of people going in. It was very easy to get in. It wasn't a big line. You had to go through a little quick checklist and get your wristband and make sure you were COVID safe and all that kind of stuff. And you had to sign off. And there was something else that was going on in town, which I didn't get a lot of details on. But one of the local like groups and youth groups was doing these giveaways. Remember, you'd see the blue flags that were on back of vehicles.
Oh, yeah. Like,
it was you paid a little fee to get this blue flag. And then if you were identified, you could win like up to like $10,000 in prizes.
Oh, wow. You
had a treasure hunt, too.
Yeah, it was like this
treasure hunt.
It was. There was a geo thing going. So it was a multiple event. And when we walked into the Dixie, there was a guy there selling this. And I don't know if Jeremy signed up or not, but our friends from Rugged were there. Our friends from AWE Exhaust were there. Everybody was there, right? And Rockside Engineering was out there. So they were all hanging out. It was great to see them all in this very compact vendor area. And then there was the Bronco, which we're going to talk about after we talk about everything else. But then there was the Bronco. Yeah. Thursday night. The biggest memory I have from this show was Thursday night.
Yep.
You want to tell what happened?
So, in all honesty, you know, we get pretty busy during the CTI days. And, you know, we get out of the trailer. We get packed up away from the CTI trailer about 6 o'clock. And we had received an invite to participate in the Milestar Tires dinner, and Martin and Andrew and all of our peers had planned this great dinner, and I was certain, and Mattson saw the email and the text too. Jesse did too. I'm like, it's at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. We got off the CTI trailer. We went back. We showered, we drug our feet a little bit, but not much. Like, we didn't get back until a little bit later, maybe. And we showered up, we changed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Madsen's got it on his phone. It says, here's a dinner. It's at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
We all, every one of us thought 8 o'clock. Yep. It's at 8 o'clock. Cool. Well, we loaded up and, or actually we just walked because it's just down the street from our hotel over to Dewey's, which Jesse and I got to eat there at the beginning of the week. Mm-hmm. And fantastic place, fantastic people. We're in the back room. We show up. It says Milestar Tire Dinner. Like, it's cool. We're like, it's like 8:04. Like, we're great. Like, we're going to make a entrance. Right. We walk in.
We totally did.
We walk into the room and everybody is done eating. Martin, our buddy Martin Castro, our event guru tire guy, is just sitting down with his plate of food and like stops and says, I wasn't sure you guys were gonna make it. And we are all literally, I don't know if my jaw was on the floor, but I literally wanted to just run and hide. And I'm like, oh no.
No,
like, I just don't do that. I don't get those kind of things wrong. That's just not me. And those guys were so amazingly awesome, Andrew and Martin, to pull us in. And it actually, I mean, for Martin to stand up there and
skip his dinner,
didn't take another bite of food.
He offered his dinner to me, but
yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
for me, it's an emotional thing because those are all my peers. Mm. These are guys that have been in the industry far longer than I have been in the industry. And for Martin and Andrew to stand up there and talk about how important we are to their organization and what we mean to them, it blew me away. So
I can tell you, actually, you got a little emotional when you talked.
Timing was perfect.
Yeah, it was. The timing was. It actually worked out great. The timing was perfect. You know, it was kind of funny showing up there, and I had to chastise him and say, "Well, we're still working, guys. I mean, we're still
right,
doing, right." But we were still working just until a little bit ago. But I mean, the Skyjacker and Rancho and all these other great companies, Chris Durham. Guys that are just phenomenal peeps who are just, and that's, you know, I got up and talked a little bit just to thank all of them after Martin thanked us, because it is true that this industry is amazing. And many people in that room, I want to get on this show because their stories are incredible, right? Talking to Lonnie at Skyjacker and the, mm-hmm. and you have a three generation family business.
Yep.
And what it did and how they built up the company is just amazing. And the guys that are there that have been in this, as you said, been in this industry for a lot longer than you or I, and able to just come together as friends. So it was very
literally the who's who of, and it's kind of funny too, because we talk about this with some of the other companies, and I'm not going to mention any names, but there's a lot of ego in the industry and that kind of thing. And this group is such a humble group of just really good people.
Right.
None of them in that room, like I could call them and ask for an opinion on what shirt I should wear each day. And they'd pick up the phone. Like, it's a different kind of group. Such real people, such important people, industry icons that are just amazing.
Well, and it says a lot about Martin and Andrew and Milestar in general. If people are wondering why, because I've gotten comments, you know, back in the days when Milestar and Patagonia was first starting to hit the ground out there, you get comments like, well, why is Metal Cloak going with such a cheap tire? Or or why is Modern Jeeper care about Milestar? You know, it's because of the people. And if you think about those two people, Andrew and Martin, and the group of good people that is surrounding them. Right.
Yeah.
there's certain selectivity in that. Like, these are people that they trust and they work with, and they didn't need to go out to a bunch of other people. But at the same time, these people, it's kind of like a statement Mike Nadell said in our podcast, where you said, "Oh, Mattson, you attract good people." I don't know if that's true or not, but I know it's true with Andrew and Martin. Like,
yeah, and you know, it's funny to as I'm sitting here thinking about the names of the people in that group. You know, we're talking about companies like Advanced Adapters. Oh yeah, guys, that's the Atlas Transfer case. Mm-hmm. Skyjacker Suspensions, Rancho Suspensions. Chris and Debbie were there. I hadn't seen them for a year. Like, it was great to see them. Guys like Chris Durham. I mean, there's so many huge people there that, you know what? Yeah, we don't go around with hats on that say, "Hey, we're really cool." It's just a group of really good people that happen to understand relationships. And if it so happens they make a good product, it's a bonus. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We want to do business with people that do good business. That's what it comes down to. And you know what? On that, I gotta. This is one of the notes, and it was kind of my fired up thing, and I want to mention it because it's bugging me.
Yes.
So, since we're talking about tires as well, mm-hmm. You know, we've had a relationship in the past with BF Goodrich Tires. And those are good people too. I've known a lot of those people over the years, and Tim Cromer and that group. I mean, they're a bunch of really good people, and they had contacted me to be a part of a recent. They're looking at releasing an app, and it's a mapping app, and you know, they wanted to. They took a couple hours of my days over the last 6 months to reach out and have video conference calls with them. And guess what? Well, they've released this app. And our friend, Dell Albright, is a strong BFG supporter and whatnot. Apparently the app is out. And I just wanted to say that apparently after they use all my knowledge of what it took and what they needed to use to develop this app, then they didn't need me anymore, because I got no word of it. So I guess my point is that be careful what information that you all know out there, and people that want to extract that information, you'll give it away freely as we all think we're doing the right thing. But sometimes we're taken advantage of a little bit, and it's a little bit of a dig on me. And I feel kind of a little bit taken advantage of, that they used me and my knowledge of what we do for event planning, mapping, how we plan our adventures, all of that stuff. And I wanted to help them develop something that was going to be very useful. They did. And then here we are, where I didn't even know the app had been released. And now they're trying to get people to buy this app and subscribe and be a part of it, which, hey guys, I just want to let you know, if you're using the BFG app, I was a part of that development process, and hopefully you'll show up to a Modern Jeeper adventure or come see us on the CTI tour.
Yeah. Right. And by the way, CartoTrax, we are fully full sponsors of CartoTrax and their mapping, which is the best mapping in the world.
That's right.
Which, by the way, it's kind of cool because they gave us the raw file for they developed for the Rubicon, which is fantastic. There's no, yes, there's no Rubicon trail mapping any as detailed as that is, because they worked directly with the Rubicon Trail Foundation, drove the trail, took mm-hmm. all the notes of the trail. And we took that file, that raw data file, and then we're like aging it and making it look cool. And we're doing this big giant map for the wall of our conference room with it.
That's cool.
And Jake is a very good stand-up guy.
So. Absolutely. We had him on the podcast, and so we'll link to that podcast in the show notes. But that is an outstanding. Now, he doesn't have his own app. He uses it through another app, and eventually right. he will have his own app. But think about the fact that there are people that are really out there doing stuff for the good of the joy of doing it, which
that's
is who
right.
we like. That's what Milestar is about. That's what Skyjacker is about. That's it. We were with BFG for a heartbeat. And unfortunately, and I hate to say this, but the experience you just had, was kind of the experience we were having.
Yes, very much right? So.
I mean,
very much so. And you know what, guys?
Big company thing. I don't know.
I've got a lot of friends that run BFGs, and including Dell and a whole plethora of bunch of people that run BFGs. My flame suit is on. Bring it, because I know what role I played in the development of that app for them, and I got
nada.
Nada.
Thank you.
No.
Nope.
And that was the biggest thing for us is, and maybe it's the big corporate thing that people have to deal with when they're in bigger companies. I don't know, but it's that thank you. All it takes is a little thank you.
Yep. Right. I'm definitely not one.
I don't care. We don't need free tires, right? We're not trying to get, you know, we're grateful that Milestars has a relationship with us, but we don't need free anything, right?
That's right.
As a company. And with BFG, the challenge for us was like, oh, so you guys are doing a big corporate Rubicon run down the street from us, and you're not going to like, and this was when we were running BFG.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And not getting it for free, just kind of wanting to play a game with them.
Be
and stuff. You're not going to like call us and say, hey, you want to come along? And so that felt like, well, okay, you don't want to be a partner or a friend. You were just one another company running your stuff, so you can point to us and say, hey, look, Metal Cloak's running our stuff. So I get it. But again, it's a company thing. It's a corporate thing. When you get that big, there's decisions that are made that maybe a Tim Cromer can't make on his own because he's trying to be a friend.
Yeah, and the folks that I was dealing with are definitely on the back end of whether they're involved with Michelin and the much larger group behind the BFG brand, which, you know, Michelin is a huge organization. So again, I'm appreciative that they reached out to me to ask, but folks, just be cautious. The stuff that you have in between your eyeballs, that as you evolve in the industry and you participate in all these kind of events, you know what, the information we all know is huge. So don't be so free to just say, yeah, I'll help you do whatever I can in hopes of, even if it's some kind of a, hey, thanks for that. Just be cautious and
just be proud that a member of the Modern Jeeper community helped make that app better for you.
That's right.
That's great.
That's right.
And loyalty is everything.
Loyalty is a huge
thing. It is a huge thing. And that's why that room of Milestar guys was so great, because we're all there to support. And
that's right.
You know, we have over the years, it's been incredible. I was just looking at, for instance, our list of top jobbers across the country, our gold jobbers, and we have gold and then everybody else. And the guys that are doing great, like the guys that really do well, are dedicated to the Metal Cloak brand. And not because it's like, oh, I'm getting a huge deep discount like I might get from some other company. Because there are companies out there that have much deeper discounts to their jobbers than Metal Cloak does. But it's because they're dedicated to the quality of the product line, and they're dedicated to the ability to actually, well, one, to get it right now. That's huge, right? But they know they don't have the customer service issues and the problems and the stuff down the road that they might have with another brand. But it's the loyalty. And loyalty is incredible. And it's humbling too. I don't care if it's from a customer. Like, even our listeners, like all you listeners out there listening to the show, you know, your loyalty to us and our loyalty to you is incredible. I mean, we appreciate the fact that you take the time of your day to listen to us and share with and subscribe and be a part of this Modern Jeeper community. I mean, to me, it's humbling every day. And I've said it for years, I'll say it again, that anytime somebody parts with their hard-earned cash or their hard-earned time to support us and to buy our products or to do something, I'll never take that for granted.
And another note, Martin came out. I call him Martin.
Martin.
My Martin. He came out in the pits and fed all the racers,
the pit crew. At the BFE beatdown, KOA.
He came out there and fed everyone.
That was on Saturday.
Yes. Yeah. The Ultra 4 race. Martin came out with a couple of his guys. They had a bunch of food and sat in the pits and served tacos
to everyone
for free. And you know what? They could have just packed up and gone home. They didn't have to be out there. And the fact, and then to watch a guy cook some fabulous tacos, and then when their car would come into the pit, run out there and change some tires.
Yep.
Martin is
he is at another level. He's just a fantastic guy. I learned a few things about him that I had not known. He is a super, super smart guy too.
Yes, he is.
Not just a jokester who happens to huck tires.
Right.
And same thing true about Andrew. I mean, think about the fact that those are two of the smartest guys I know. Mm-hmm. And they happen to be in the tire industry, which maybe tells us something that there's a lot to this tire thing.
Yeah, it's not just a bunch of rubber, it turns out, I guess.
Right, yeah. There's a lot of stuff happening over Milestar, too, with some new brands and Tire Co. and that whole world. Yep. And having some Made in America products that are coming out. So,
yep, absolutely. There's so much going on right now. we're having the Metal Cloak, the CTI tow rig is going to get wrapped in the next couple of days.
Finally.
We've had discussions, and again, for our listeners out there, I had discussions. Manson was in the office this morning, but I had some discussions with some folks even way up in the chain of command about the CTI trailer and what we need and what works and what doesn't. And you know what? We are fully vested in making sure that we continue to provide everything we can to make the education side make sense, why we do what we do, to make sure we get you good information, and the podcast is part of that. Social media is part of that. The website is part of that. And every single one of these events, as we go around the country, and we're going to stop at a bunch of jobbers this year and meet with each of you. We're going to try to do some big events, small events. We're all kinds of all over the place.
Planning, lots of planning. Sitting down and planning. We want to see everybody.
Everybody.
All of them.
We're going to see all of them. And by the way, just as a note on that, if you're a Metal Cloak customer and you're, you should be a member of the Metal Cloak Owners Club. It's metalcloakowners.club. Goes to a Facebook page and ask to join there. But one of the benefits of being a Metal Cloak Owners Club member, because we still get questions about people like, hey, do you have ambassador programs? Mm-hmm. And the reality is we don't. We don't have a master program for Modern Jeeper. We don't have an ambassador program for Metal Cloak. What we have is Metal Cloak Owners Club. Mm-hmm. And the Metal Cloak Owners Club is a chance, if you want to, you could actually go and request that Philip Thorpe, who, by the way, is upset that I'm not going to be at the Moab trip.
Adventure.
He just texted me about it and he's all bummed. So we got to convince him to come out to Tillamook, by the way.
Well, Lip is coming out to Jeep Beach.
He's going to be at Jeep Beach, we just found out.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Nice. Lip? That's his, are you calling
him? I call him Lip.
That's from Shameless.
Shameless. Yes. My favorite show.
Yeah, that's a Shameless show. So, where was I going with it? Oh, you can request to have, if you want to go to an event or you have a local event and you want to have Metal Cloak, like you want to represent the club, and the club is just the people, the joy of the people that are all Metal Cloak fans, and you can throw up this canopy, have some beers underneath it, whatever. You can request that to be sent out to you for free. And say that the event you need to go to has like, well, if you want a canopy out, you need to donate something or whatever. That's fine. Just let them know and we'll donate stuff to you for that event. We'll support that event. And you can have the Metal Cloak Owners Club canopy out at the event and be a part of that, hang out because you're there. You're just part of the club. You can do whatever the heck you want. And hang out with your buddies and stuff. And it's kind of funny because when people do that, it's like there's a gravity of people that come out and all want to be a part of that group who maybe aren't part of the OC, but they do have Metal Cloak products, so they like the Metal Cloak standards.
And part of what Milestar showed us too and emphasized for all of us is that this is a family, and the off-road industry, we embrace every single one of even our competitors as part of the family. And I don't care if it's, you know, we have great friends at all the other manufacturers. Jeremy Purick at Rock, what's the name of that company? Rockcrawler. Dennis at Terraflex. I mean, all those guys, like we, those are all part of the family. We're all in the same boat. And to be associated in this group of family people of this, the greatness that we all represent and what we're trying for. You know, I've heard some horror stories recently in social media about side-by-sides, and it's the Jeep versus side-by-side. It's happening even in Colorado, and people are up in arms, and you know what? We're all in this together, and I get it. Like, there's this whole, we can't approach the side-by-sides because they're unapproachable, and you know, the other industry folks are they don't understand because they're in the East Coast. That's not the case. And you know, I'm gonna put a little plug in for the Ouray County folks, the Ouray Mountain Rescue Team. Mm-hmm. Again, it's all of us supporting each other as we go explore the outdoors. And the fact that we're all competitors or whatnot, even if it's with the side-by-side people, it doesn't really matter. It's about communication, about how we feel about each other and how we represent ourselves. A lady got yelled at because she told some side-by-side folks that they were off trail, and a guy apparently approached her in a very aggressive manner, took her keys, that kind of thing, wasn't going to give her keys back. Man, that can't happen. And so, right. As we travel around to different areas, you know, Matson has mentioned this in the past. We don't want to have the West be just like the East and have it all be private parks. There has to be this outlet for folks to go out and enjoy on their own with those kind of freedoms. If we don't want those freedoms, well, then we need to keep going like we're going, and those will all get handled for us.
And we have to work together.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's an A equal A world where it doesn't matter that, oh, the Jeep guys are being good, but the side-by-sides are bad. Therefore, we're going to ban the side-by-sides, right? Because the environmentalists who are against all OHV, it's all OHV, off highway vehicles.
That's right. All of
it, motorcycles, side-by-sides, whatever, Jeeps. Broncos. I mean, all these 4x4 rigs fall under that same category, and they want to get rid of us all.
And they have the scientific data to prove otherwise, even though we still want to keep the trails open.
Right.
So we have to work together.
Absolutely. They're going to gather it all together. And what Jesse's referring to is that they are spending OHV money to do the research to make sure that they can get rid of us. That's why Oceana Dunes is doomed to failure, right? It's going to close down. And it's sad, but if you're on the East Coast, like I said before in a previous podcast, they will come after the private property, guys.
Yep.
That will be next. Once they've got the public property, then it's going to be, you have no rights on your private property to do what you think you can do. Because you can't go pour chemical on your private property. You can't pollute things in your private property. You know, there's a lot of stuff you can't do in your private property. So we don't think you should be able to build a little race course in your private property, or we don't think you should be able to have Jeeps drive in your private property, especially if it's going through Mother Nature. Doesn't matter. They'll go after you. Okay. Yeah. It's kind of funny. As we were leaving on Saturday morning, I ran into a customer. It was 6 a.m. and a customer walks up to us and says, "Hey, Matson," whatever. And he is the president of the Salem Jeepers out of Salem, Oregon. He's all the way in Moab, driving, by the way, a pumpkin JL Rubicon.
Imagine that.
And interestingly enough, he's also a foster attorney for foster children. So it was kind of, we hit off on a lot of stuff. But one of the things he does as an attorney is he writes articles for E3 about land use.
Gotcha.
Which I thought was impressive. I mean, the whole E3 environment, I haven't been in E3 other than knowing that Kevin and Brittany are involved in it. Which, by the way, we saw them out there. They're doing great, and as usual, and having a lot of fun. But he's writing articles about land use, so it was cool because he's really. So I invited him to do some stuff with us at Modern Jeeper to be able to share some of that over here, because it's important to know kind of legal perspective on how on how it all plays out.
You know, here's an interesting perspective, and I'm just going to throw this out there because it was just something that kind of crossed my mind, is that when you support a manufacturer, if the manufacturer is involved in the outdoor use side of business, we saw a company, a lot of people were buying, I think EAG, is that right?
Yes.
The Amazon. Fenders, inner fenders and bumpers and things like that. And, you know, people have said, you know, it's great because it's really cheap stuff and they get it on Amazon and it's readily available. Yeah. Does EAG promote or spend money towards
land use?
And, you know, when you're dealing with Metal Cloak or Rock Crawler or Terraflex or these companies that manufacture and do business in the United States, they have some aspect of them that is promoting and supporting land use. So you know what? If you think that yourself, that you're not a big enough voice, I'm just, you know what? Spend money with these companies because that is helping share your voice and mm-hmm. help protect our lands.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the fact that we can go out to Death Valley. We don't do any of these adventures in cool places. Oh, just like Moab and the Rubicon Trail and Tillamook. And I mean, you know, we don't go anywhere nice. So again, when you guys are part of these adventures, that money is going back into a company that is supporting land use. Like it's overwhelming. And as we continue to go, yeah, but you know what? The U.S. stuff is just a little bit more expensive than I can afford.
But you're not supporting
really
all the
so
things that
how
I
about
love.
You don't get to use it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and it's true. And there's some great companies. Rugged Radios is
yes.
huge, huge part of their program is trying to keep Oceano open.
And that's right. Ranges.
And they're all over the country. Since the beginning, we've been fighting for land use, right?
And yep.
In fact, there's a link on our website. I'll find it in the show notes for 7 things you can do right now to join the fight for land use. And there are times where we're winning the battle. There are times where we're losing the battle.
That's right.
And it's a never-ending fight, right? Fighting for freedom, no matter what freedoms they are, never ends.
And it's that's constant right. education for the younger generation.
Absolutely.
Because they have to follow us. Can't yep. just be us old guys reaching
right.
it.
Absolutely. They have to follow
I us. I think she's efforts. Talking about us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What?
Like I'm not old. Okay.
it's absolutely right because they are also the ones that don't necessarily know like what are the rules and regs and stuff like that, right? I mean,
that's right.
It's an interesting world where, you know, as a backpacker who's done hundreds of miles on the Sierras, you learn very, you know, you there's little things you have to know, like you bring a little shovel for your, you know, for your business, and you bury it and stuff like that, right? And there's things you need to know as a jeeper too, things you should bring with you and things you should do it. And I'm hoping that some of these other educational programs that are popping up, especially for Jeep and others, are taking the time to teach those basics. Because it's not just how to use your rig, but it's how to be a responsible off-roader.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of responsible off-roading and other rigs, we're almost running out of time here, so we're gonna have to skip talking about it. But the Bronco. I know this is a Jeep show, but guys, be prepared. The funny story that I'll share with everybody is that I was out at the vendor show where they had Broncos on display, and I had a goal. I hadn't seen it yet. So I brought out my camera and I want to take some pictures of the suspension system and everything else there to see what it's like and to learn a bit more about it. And so I got on the ground and I was under that thing. In fact, I was under the RTR Bronco, which if you don't know, that's Ready to Race. And that's part of the Funhaver group, which is Von Gritten Jr. and Lauren Healy's company. Yes. And they had it out there, which Funhaver has a bunch of swag you can buy and little things that are marked, but they also have the RTR, which I think is like rtrvehicles.com or something. And this is like a Roush style upgrade for right. your Bronco. So anyway, I'm yeah. under their rig, suspension stock. I'm taking photos. I'm getting dirty, right? I'm sneaking under the rope. And then I get up and talk to a guy for a few minutes and then walk over, and 20 feet away was a rolling chassis with all this stuff on it. So I took a bunch of pictures of that too, just to understand it, know what it's like. And I got to tell you guys, if in the world of competition, Jeep has some competition. Mm-hmm. That Bronco is well thought out. It is beefy. The size of the rear track bar, that's the size of a Dodge Ram track.
Even the stuff we learned about what the front dig and how it turns and
oh yeah, all the electronics of it. Wow. I think we should hold out for a lot of the juicy stuff for another podcast.
It's pretty cool.
Because there's a lot to talk about with the Bronco.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to. And maybe let's do this. Let's try to figure out, because maybe we can get a Bronco guy on here. And I'll reach out to Lauren. Maybe Lauren will come on and want to talk about it, or even Jason Shear. Jason Shear might be going. We've had Shear on the show before, and he's a great talker. So there'll be some stuff they can definitely talk about. A lot of stuff they can't talk about, but still, even now, and doing it. So we'll do that. Maybe we'll get Shear on the show and be able to talk about the. About it, because there's a lot of cool stuff that this thing
has. There's lots to talk about for sure.
It is going to be an incredible rig. It's incredible competition for Jeep. And
this will be our hook for the next episode.
The next coming episode, right? Like, so pay attention, subscribe now. Right. You subscribe now. Hit that subscribe button. You too.
Then you'll know.
We have a lot of insider things. Right? It's just,
and join the email list over there at modernjeeper.com. Boom. All right. So. You know, tech, by the way, tech, I had to show this to everybody.
Yes.
Our hoofs.
So these are hoofs.
Those are
our ram hoofs.
Those are like Star Wars ears.
No.
But these right here, these massive things that are like, you know, it can be, it's actually kind of like a little helmet there. No, it doesn't work with a hat.
Ears.
They're hoofs. These are the lower pucks.
They're the ram hooves.
I mean, my hand almost fits all the way through this. These are the lower pucks for our ram suspension system. And every system gets this because this is what the coil sits in. And so we've got these lower pucks here. We've got upper pucks too, like go up there, a little different size, boom, 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 boom. You know, identified specifically for side, like this one here is the ram front passenger lower. And this one is the ram front driver lower. And then you have uppers and stuff like that. And by the way, it's kind of got a cool Ram logo, which is, it's hard to see there. Mm-hmm. For our listeners,
Mattson is holding up Ram Game Changer Suspension products. Ram Game Changer Suspension.
Let that sink in.
Ram Game Changer Suspension. Huh. You know, this is Modern Jeeper Show, but guess what? That Ram is in our wheelhouse. So, pay attention.
You didn't get to see the EJS. You're missing out. It was
If you're a Jeeper, you own a Ram.
Yeah, right?
Does the Modern Jeeper Show become the generic 4x4 show just because Jeep becomes generic and synonymous with 4x4?
Does that mean we have to become the Stellantis show?
Stellantis.
Ooh.
The modern Stellantis.
That sounds like a shoe.
Like, or a disease.
I'm sorry. I love you guys at FCA, but really, Stellantis?
I've got some Stellantis on my forehead.
Yeah. Is it a slant tight and a Stellantis? Slant tight, tight, and then you know, slant might and a slant tight. I don't know. All right, guys. Well, it's been another great show. As usual, we could talk for hours and hours and hours. Hey, any tech tips or fun things that you guys want to share?
Oh my goodness. We're seeing a lot of folks on the CTI trailer getting wider, and I'm not sure what that's all about.
Gosh.
But the offset in your wheels, if you guys want to go through a bunch of ball joints, keep putting a bunch of offset in your wheels and let me know how those ball joints work out for you with a 37 or a 40 inch tall tire all way outside the axles. Mm-hmm.
Well, wider is better. And besides, you know, it did work out. Like you talked about following the black lines. There's a problem when you're so wide that you're actually wider than the black lines, because which line should you be on?
Right. Well, right. And I think I mentioned it last week is, you know, a lot of places, especially in wilderness type of areas, mountainous, national park type stuff, there are width requirements. And I get it, because a lot of you guys that are really wide, you're not going off-road anyway. You're just going to the mall.
Or you can't drive.
Oh, them fighting.
And you heard it from me.
You're fighting. You are wearing your flames.
I challenge you. If you're wide and you got wontons and big tires, why don't you put little tires back on it and see if you can drive?
Oh,
I can drive over anything with big tires and wontons.
That's right. That's
true. Like a Chinese food, the wonton.
The wontons.
It was a trend.
Not wontons, it's wontons.
It was a trend a little while ago out here on the Rubicon. Probably still happened. A lot of the guys that grew up on the Rubicon and doing the Rubicon and got big and you get your bigger setup and all that kind of stuff. It got to a point where we actually started seeing guys like go back and get like little Willie's Jeeps and because they wanted to go on back on 31s and they wanted to see if they could do it because it's skill, right?
They are amazing. A
little bit of advice, and I'll just put it out here. You know, if you really go out there and wheel your rig when it's stock. Mm-hmm. Before you wheel your rig with wontons and tire. That's why I like Kevin and Brittany, why I respect them so much, because they played the game with their stock ones before they ever built it up to have an ME,
that's right.
ME and lots of their stuff, right? And they cut their teeth on the smaller tires. People are showing you this little thing. It's a little silver handle. It's kind of funny. I found this. I used to have original iPad, and that original iPad, I had a Atari games on it. And what this is, it's a joystick. Uh-huh. And on that original Atari pad, the Atari game, you could actually control it by using this. It has the little bit of the little felt that actually feels like human touch, and you can put it on there. You can hear it pops off. Well, you can put it on your phone or on your game, and you use it as a joystick. So what? You had it like with a joystick and button, and you can sit here and have this little joystick on your while you're racing your games or doing stuff on your phone.
Huh. Interesting.
I just ran into this thing. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Quit playing with it. Stop it.
The more you play with it.
My joystick on the video.
Yeah. OMG.
OMG. Friends, I think we can go down another path now, but it might not be good. So this has been an awesome show. Hope all of you guys out there get a chance to add Moab to your bucket list. If you're not quite sure if you can make it out during East Jeep Safari, we have some spots available at modernjeeperadventures.com. Tillamook is sold out. And then after that, we got to get busy because we have a couple other events to throw up on the site.
We do. We have to get some more information up on the website for registration. So we'll start to work on that, and then come see us at Jeep Beach or Panama City and anywhere in between.
Free shirts. We're going to do more free shirts out there at Jeep Beach, and we'll probably do something for Panama City. I'm going to try to have free shirts at every event. And there, by the way, if Will's going to be out there at Jeep Beach, I don't know who's going to be out at the other events, but Will's going to come out at Jeep Beach to give away free shirts. You'll also see some ARS stuff out there. So all our friends, thank you, Modern Jeepers. Come out, say hi, give Corey a hug. No masks are not required.
Yeah, especially in Florida right now. Well, all right. Okay, moving on.
Oh, God.
All right, Modern Jeepers, we'll see you on the trails.
Cheers.
See ya.
This podcast will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.